Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
And they bring Vita Vane in as a fullback again. Tucker the tailback. Hand off Tucker, runs left, stood up, fumbled the football, it's loose on the ground, and Mayfield recovers it. Baker recovered it, it was just laying there. Nobody noticed that the ball was there and almost hit Burns in the foot. Play fake, hand off Irving, up the middle, and he runs in for a touchdown. Good fake by Mayfield, handed it off to Irving. Shotgun snap direct to Tracy. Bucks are not fooled, and he's going to get tackled at the six. The ball came out, and the Bucks say they have it, and they do. So they go Wildcat with Tracy and Singletary, and Tracy has fumbled it again. DeVito out of the gun, takes the snap, back, under pressure, he's going to run, he's got plenty of green, to the 10, to the 5, hit around the head and dropped at the 1. Woo! Mayfield hands it off left for Irving, hit by Mouassal, runs right out of his tackle, and there goes Irving, up the middle of the field to the 30, to the 40, near midfield, still on his feet, inside the 45 and tackled at the Giants 39-yard line. Vito back in the end zone, gets hit, lobs it down the left sideline, but into the Bucs bench incomplete.
He had what he wanted. He's down. He took a shot.
Vito takes the snap. Back to throw. To the end zone it goes. Over the head of Slayton, incomplete on the final play of the game. So the Tampa Bay Bucs and their four-game losing streak. Both teams coming off a bye, and the Bucs dominate the Giants. There's no DeVito magic this time. And the Giants remain winless at home here in 2024.
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Sean Morass.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, the Fan, WFAN.
Well, what the hell was that? And I don't mean the production piece, thanks to Paulie Rosenberg on the other side took care of that. A happy Sunday evening to you all, if you can stomach it. It's Sean Morash here with you following the Giants post-game show. Taking you up until 7:30 p.m. and coverage of Sunday Night Football between the crappy Eagles and the Rams from SoFi Stadium. Well, we're going to keep you abreast to all that's going on in the NFL throughout the course of the next hour and a half, the three games I have on right in front of me, so keep it locked right here. I'll keep you updated on exactly what's going on in the NFL, if you still care about the NFL, because we embark on Thanksgiving week here on The Fan, and one thing we could all be thankful for is that this New York football season is another week closer to being over. But of course, not without more discourse. The spark, the energy of the hometown boy wrapped in figurative breadcrumbs and gravy was non-existent today as the Giants fell 30-7 at MetLife Stadium, remaining winless at home. And as you know, this game today was somehow worse than even that final score indicated. I will raise my hand. You know, if you've listened to me long enough, whether on Evan and Tiki or my solo stuff or the pod, I planted my flag long ago in this lost season. That, make no mistake, was lost long ago. I planted the flag that I want Brian Daboll back as the head coach of the New York Football Giants. The unfortunate reality that people like me are going to have to deal with, though, is that it feels nearly impossible to thread the needle of getting to the top of the draft to swing big at quarterback finally for this team, and yet simultaneously hold together a locker room long enough for the head coach to keep his job. And it became more difficult to fight with people who want the coach of GMX today. But guess what? You know, after a 31-7 drubbing at home where John Mara had to hear fans of a Florida football team chanting, Bucky, Bucky, that's exactly where it feels like things are headed. We thought, dumbly, that Tommy DeVito would lead to a spark, albeit not as dumbly as our friend Tommy Lugauer thought he was the answer of the future. Instead of Tommy DeVito being, you know, hey, one of us, he was Cousin Eddie crashing Christmas vacation. You rolled your eyes, saw the RV pull up, and said, here we go again. The team swallowed an 8.5-minute touchdown drive to start the game without a flicker of hope that they would get off the field on a third down, and they never recovered. top to bottom, 53 men is one. Yes, I get it, inactives, whatever. You get the point. Should all be ashamed. It was a quick fest by the Giants today that made the Mike Glennon Giants look like Montana's Niners. All right? The shame of it is, it didn't have to be this way on Sunday. I sit down with my pimply ass watching these games. The Titans had two wins. They fought all day with their division-leading Texans, all right? The hapless, hated Cowboys on a short week, short players. They beat the Commanders today. And as it stands right now, a two-win Raider team is leading the Denver Broncos, who just had a big blowout win last week. The point being, bad teams with bad records don't have to give up because they're bad. They're allowed to fight. It says so in the rules. And close losses and fight have been a calling card of the Brian Daboll era, like it or not. But not today. And off a bye week versus an under 500 Bucks team, that is sound the alarm bell territory. So why? Why? Why are we here? Why am I here on another Sunday talking to some of you still stuck in traffic on a gloomy, cold November day watching this terrible football team? Why and how could this happen again? Oh! After the game, the likes of guys I consider friends, truly, and if not, guys I respect, Pat Leonard, Jordan Renan, Dan Duggan, some of these guys, they pressed Brian Daboll after the game about, you know, where the team stood this week and how this spark didn't happen. And the reoccurring theme, mainly from those three guys, it felt like, that kept getting mentioned, was did benching Daniel Jones hurt the locker room? And better yet, and this was specifically mentioned in the postgame press conference, which is why I'm going to get to it now, what about Dexter Lawrence calling Daniel Jones this week the team's best quarterback, despite the fact that, you know, Tommy DeVito is his teammate also? Which brings me to what I think is the bigger inherent issue with the New York Giants. And it's an issue that, unfortunately, Brian Daboll has no way of saving. The team lacks actual leaders. Well, first of all, you got to have a lot of good, respected players to have more leaders. The team's still lacking in that department. And the ones that they do have lacked actual leadership this week, including our beloved Dexter Lawrence, who, obviously, his quotes were brought up to Daboll postgame today. Make no mistake, Dexter Lawrence is going to be a Giant Ring of Honor guy. He is an all-time Giant. I love him. We love him. We all love doing the sexy Dexy. But he was wrong in his tack this week. And it's okay to love players, love athletes, love celebrities, and admit when they made a major mistake. And Dexter Lawrence made a major mistake this week. He flat out undercut the coach, unintentionally probably, by prioritizing his friendship with Daniel Jones and saying the nicest things possible about Jones. Calling him the best quarterback on the team after he was benched was not the right message to a locker room lacking leaders and looking up to Dexter Lawrence. And the moment that defense gave up the first touchdown, boy, did it look like that same defense, who takes its cues from Dexter Lawrence, had no faith in the young quarterback in the offense. They did not. Dexter Lawrence signed a big money deal with this team. And unfortunately, when you're on a bad team and you're the best player on a bad team, people look to you for leadership, like it or not. And what Dexter Lawrence did this week, when, and again, it might have been just a throwaway line, he prioritized his friendship with Daniel Jones over what this team needed most. And what this team needed most was what Kayvon Thibodeau said earlier in the week, when he said, hey, when you're 2-8, everybody's job should be on the line. We all should be thinking about this, not, oh, you know, this guy's actually the best player on the team. I am so tired of caring, and this team has gone too far in caring about Daniel Jones' freaking feelings, that now it has negatively impacted this team after he's gone. I mean, my God! Andrew Thomas is out for the year and Daniel Jones is gone. Those were the offensive captains. There is no offensive captain on this team. It's a rudderless ship. The franchise, putting Daniel Jones on the same pedestal as Eli Manning with an emotional goodbye letter from the owner, a funeral-like service from players' lips. What a disgrace to truly great Giants that set the tone This set the tone for the garbage today. We, as fans, deserve better. And I'm starting to think some players on this team don't even see that. How? How? I sat there and watched the game in Germany 2 weeks ago when Wandell Robinson, and call it like it was, threw a hissy fit on that flea flicker that the quarterback Daniel Jones sucked again on and swallowed a sack. I sat there and watched Malik Nabers look dejected on the sideline because the quarterback, again, couldn't find him. But now, this team and some of these young players, influential players, and we'll get to Malik Nabers in a second, who have zero actual leaders around them, especially on offense, are taking their cues when they hear things like Dexter Lawrence call Daniel Jones the best quarterback on the team, and they are basically being brainwashed in a bad season. Again, I'm not blaming today's loss on Dexter Lawrence. I'm saying as a leader, he set the wrong tone this week. And if you don't think so, then tell me why. Basically, his comments had to be brought up 43 times, it felt like, the Brian Daboll postgame. We deserve better. And if you think Malik Nabers isn't getting lost now in this locker room, let's hear what he had to say after the game.
Hey, the quarterback. Same outcome when we had DJ at quarterback. I mean, take a look. Take a look. It ain't the quarterback.
What do you think?
What is it? I don't know what it is.
Is it the play?
Everybody know better than me.
Is it the play call?
We'll take three more.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I know I'm tired of losing.
Oh, my God. And there you have it. The chosen one. The guy the Giants can't afford to have things go south for if they've missed on picks is Malik Nabers. And I'm going to set the tone for you. That chomping you heard, Malik Nabers is chewing gum postgame. Look, say what you want to say. When you have 15 minutes to meet reporters, you have all day to chew gum. You could chew gum after. He's also wearing the sunglasses inside. And there's an old saying, and this is true. When you're wearing sunglasses inside, there's two kinds of people that do that. Blind people and bleep bleeps, okay? That is the message that Malik Nabers is giving off. The sunglasses, the chewing gum, and saying it ain't the quarterback, same results with DJ. Hey, newsflash, Malik Nabers. It's not only the quarterback, and nobody said it's only the quarterback, but it's not exactly like the Giants benched Daniel Jones, cut Daniel Jones, and went to Steve Young in his prime today either. Tommy DeVito, great story. Great kid. I'm rooting for him. And the moment Jermaine Illuminor got hurt in this game, you know, playing Chris Hubbard and Evan Neal tackled, John Michael Schmitz didn't have a great game against Vita Vea. The line got eaten alive, and we saw a lot of the stuff. But guess what I'm not going to do today? I'm not going to do what I did for 6 years like a bumbling moron and tell you it's all about the offensive line. Tommy DeVito's flaws he had last year reared its ugly head, taking sacks. He finally got things going in the second half, getting rid of the ball quick, getting Malik Nabers involved. And that's why Malik Nabers was pissed. The team's getting blown out in the first half. He's basically getting no looks. And that is on Brian Daboll. If you're going to make the move and think Tommy DeVito gives you a better chance, you better feed your best player. Because guess what? When you invest a fifth overall pick on, let's call it like it is, a diva number one wide receiver. Malik Nabers ain't the first. He ain't the last. Those guys like getting the ball. They don't like losing. They'll deal with losing if they're at least getting touches. You can't have him not getting touches after you make a quarterback change. That is on the coach. But for Malik Nabers, think about that. Well, it's not the quarterback, same result. He's been brainwashed. The Daniel Jones cancer has brainwashed this entire team. Oh, my God. Think about where we are. You somehow had a week where Daniel Jones asked for his release after getting benching, after sucking, after all these players sat and watched the same film and the same garbage football that we sit ourselves and subject ourselves to, and the prevailing message out of Dexter Lawrence's mouth infiltrated the locker room that, it ain't the quarterbacks, we just let go of a good player here. Daniel Jones sucked! And you gave Tommy DeVito no chance, and by the way, Tommy DeVito not that great either. You can't compete in the NFL without adequate quarterback play. The Giants have got none of it all year. But that's on the head coach to steer that ship, and that was on the general manager to figure out. Say what you want to say about Russell Wilson. You guaranteed Daniel Jones a starting job, or maybe Russell Wilson would have been here when you met with him. That was the story that came out. They didn't do a good enough job. Maybe Jameis Winston on this team would have done a good enough job. If Brian Daboll truly loses this locker room the rest of the year, and boy, does it feel like it's heading that way, Him and Joe Shane could thank each other for not taking the backup quarterback job more seriously. It's the truth. That doesn't mean they would have made the playoffs, but this is a group of guys that are tired of losing and tired of getting their ass kicked, and they quit today. Jermaine Illuminor, after the game, who got hurt and didn't return, you know, he basically said guys felt like they were tanking out there. The word soft was used by Dexter Lawrence post-game. Well, if players are going to start calling each other soft, when does that end well? And oh, by the way, this team plays again in 4 days on national TV, a game versus the Dallas Cowboys that no matter how good or bad the teams are in, the entire country watches. How do you think that's going to go if it's more the same as the Cowboys looked awake? I'm not sure if it's an embarrassing loss again. I'm not sure Brian Daboll makes it to the end of the year. I entered today thinking he's got to stay next year. He may not make it till the end of the year if they lose like they did next week. And by the way, and this will be more until you want to argue with me, Brian Daboll will catch on somewhere else if and when he gets fired. And if he has a quarterback, I got newsflash. He's got to be a good coach somewhere. And there's going to be a point in time where we look back and Brian Daboll's coaching a team in the playoffs. And we're going to go, oh, where was that with us? Where was that with us? We don't have a quarterback. The whole thing sucked. The whole thing's rotten. And I can't defend keeping the coach and GM if you're going to lose off a bye week 31-7. So it almost ruins the fun of drafting a quarterback because I don't trust them to get the next hiring right either. The whole thing sucks.